This podcast is brought to you by PrideNZ.com with generous support from the Royal Foundation.
How would you describe your identity?
I identify as a lesbian. Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. Would you see yourself fitting into any kind of like stereotypes or like labels within the lesbian community?
I suppose you have all sort of subcategories of sort of feminine, probably a feminine lesbian. Mm. But it's not really like anything I particularly identify with so strongly with that I need to stick with it anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think the language that we use to talk about sexual orientation and gender has changed much over time?
Yeah, I think it has. I think it's, I know, for me when I first sort of discovered stuff about the LGBT community and stuff and started learning more and more about their diversity in it, and people have got more and more confident using different terms of like identifying themselves as something that they feel comfortable with rather than trying to force themselves into a label that already existed. And I think hopefully that'll just keep continuing. So I identify as a lesbian, which is kind of like a sort of an older label, but I recognise that there are a lot of people who wouldn't really fit that category, but they kind of would. So.
When did you first become aware of your sexual orientation?
When I was 14, I was at a dancing class, and for some reason that night I just kind of clicked and was like, oh my god. and I cried. I was really upset, and my mum had no idea what was wrong, and I said, I think I'm gay, and she's like okay, so don't worry thing. And then the next day I was absolutely horrified that I'd said anything to anyone, because I texted my best friend as well and said, don't talk to me about it, and didn't really deal with it till I was like 16, 17. Didn't start actually actively being like, oh, this is something I can't actually ignore anymore. Yeah.
What do you think happened that, like when you first kind of...
I actually can't quite remember what it was that set me off. I suspect it was, like, I don't know. No, I can't quite remember what happened that made me, I just remember, I was like, oh no. And it was really quick, and I was really scared, I think, was the main thing. Because before that, I had never identified with the LGBT community. Mm. I knew of the LGBT community and stuff. I wasn't totally unaware. And I knew some of the language and stuff like that. I think it would have been more confusing if I didn't know any of that. But I never identified with them, so I was like, oh no. Yeah.
Had it been something you'd been, like, thinking about at all?
Previously to that?
Yeah. Like, had you been questioning it?
No, it was literally like in one go, and I was like, it never occurred to me before. Yeah, that, and then looking back further, I can see that it made sense. Like, as if it was always like just everything was already there, but it just never clicked.
Yeah.
What
messages do you remember, or like, what did you know?
I didn't know very much. I didn't know very much. I remember I went to quite a liberal school. Like, so everyone was, it was a co-ed, mufti, like, pretty reasonably well-off school and stuff, and everyone was, yeah, so I didn't know a lot about the community, but I hadn't heard bad things about it. I just knew it was kind of different, and I think that was the main bit that scared me, is I didn't really want to be different, because, you know, you don't really want to be different at 14 at all, if you can avoid it, yeah.
So after you told your mum and your friend, then you said you didn't really kind of acknowledge it. Again, no. For a few years, what happened kind of in that period?
I just think I just tried not to think about it too much, and I just didn't put much time into it. I just don't really remember thinking about it a lot through like year 11 and stuff, but during that year actually though, I had a huge crush on a girl who was 2 years older than me, and I didn't recognise it as a crush either. I just thought she was a really, really cool person and stuff, and then like when I started clicking the next year, I was like, oh, that's what that was, and it made a lot more sense to me. But no, I didn't really think about it through 11. I managed to do it quite successfully, ignore it, and then I got to year 12 and I was like, no, I couldn't really anymore.
What was happening there?
I went to a party with my friend and I realised I would rather kiss her than any other guys in the room, and I was like, then that made me quite upset again, but then I was like, okay, I have to start to, I don't know, I feel like felt kind of alone, I think, because I had to start trying to connect, because it's really important to me, is to not feel isolated.
Yeah. How have you connected?
The first thing I did was I joined a website called Queer Attitude, mm-hmm. Which is kind of, I think it might be UK-based, but it has a lot of Americans on it. It had some New Zealanders and Australians on it too. And it was just like it's quite a youth-based one. It had lots of talking about lots of different things I'd never thought about and coming out and all that sort of stuff. So that was quite nice to have. And it's quite a well-moderated website, so it's quite a safe space. It still is quite a safe space because it's really well looked after. And you have to go to quite a lot of effort to be properly included into it. So people who like want to troll or whatever just can't really. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was on that website for probably a year and a bit, and that really helped me a lot, at least feel connected and stuff. So the internet became really important to me, because mm-hmm. that was mainly how I connected for quite a long time. And I even later, I went to a couple of the youth groups. There was a group called Schools Out in Wellington, and I went to a couple of them, but it was quite hard for me to do, like time-wise, because I was quite busy. And also, I just still feel like I didn't really click with anyone, so I was like so sort of reliant on having that connection through the internet mm. and any media I could find and all that sort of stuff was probably what was the main bit through high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like kind of transitioning to university?
It was better. It was much better. I came out at the sort of, I came out, started coming out as like bisexual at the beginning of year 12, because that's kind of how I began to identify myself, because I sort of think I was comfortable with the thinking about anything more beyond that that as a concept. But I sort of started, and I started identifying as lesbian by the end of that year, and I came out as a lesbian beginning of year 13, and which was pretty good, like really, really, really terrifying for me. I remember it being absolutely, absolutely really terrifying, but people were really great generally. And so that was fine. So when I came to university, I made sure within about 2 or 3 weeks of meeting everybody, I came out to sort of the friends I'd made, and that was so it was just always there. So it didn't become a thing I was keeping a secret, because secrets aren't very fun to keep. And I made sure I connected with UniQ really, really early on. So that was really cool for meeting some people and have to actively try and be a member of the community. It always will require effort, I think. I don't know if that will ever quite go away. You always have to kind of actively be part of the community and actively make an effort to go to things and to try and meet people and to talk to them and stuff, which is hard. Totally worth it, but but hard and stuff. I found that especially hard first year. Last year it got a lot easier because I had made some friends and stuff and I had more people to go to things with. First year I didn't really have people to go to any of the events with, which was... So sometimes I go by myself, which was a bit hard, yeah.
Why is it so important to you to connect and be part of that community?
I don't really like feeling isolated. I think you start feeling like your worldview's weird or that you're... I know that something's wrong. I think that's where feeling like something's wrong can come from, is when you're surrounded by people who don't think at all like you do or don't understand the sort of community and culture you really identify with. Because you identify with, like, your... Because there's all like racial culture and all that sort of stuff, and you know, being part of being a student and all that sort of stuff, and you can fit with those. But you know, with people dating and people liking this person, if you don't get to connect with anyone, it can feel really lonely, and that can be really hard. So it's really important to me to make sure I feel like I'm normal because I am. So,
have you experienced any like homophobia at school or university?
There wasn't too much at my high school, actually. People were generally pretty amazing, which is pretty good because it's still quite a big problem in New Zealand high schools generally. And depending on where you are, it gets progressively worse. So my friends were all really great, and I felt really... They made me feel quite safe, actually, because I knew if anyone had said anything to me, that they would have a go at them. And in my high school, it was quite the people who were homophobic were the ones who got teased. It wasn't the people who were gay. Because I remember by the time you were 13, I remember there was a guy, and he was a bit, I think, I don't know, he must have said something to someone or stuff, and they were just teasing him for you know, being scared of gay people and what's wrong with you sort of thing, which is quite funny. And I do remember there's a guy at my school who came out to one of his best friends towards the end of year 13 or something like that, and she came from a really religious background. I didn't think I realised how religious she was, religious of a background she was from, and she ended up inviting him over to her house, and her parents like spent like 2 hours like lecturing in him on how it was sin and all this crap and stuff, which was probably quite traumatising for him. But people stopped talking to her after that, because that was in the church. I think their church members actually kicked them after that, and they moved to Australia. But but it didn't go down well after all. But there were people around. I did manage to avoid them quite well. And I had at first year uni, there was a guy who hung out with my friend group, who would sometimes say stuff that was inappropriate. By that time, I was kind of confident enough to be like, no, I don't want to hear that. And that's quite an offensive thing to say to me. And he did actually end up apologising to me for that. But in a way, I think it's maybe... He came from up in Auckland, and from like sort of one of the more posh schools in Auckland. And I think he maybe thought it was his right to sort of say some of the inappropriate stuff he said to me. And realised that sometimes people aren't quite as receptive as he thought they might be. Mainly it's pretty good. I think it's just sort of that underlying, not direct homophobia, but like people, but feeling sort of quite out of place, or feeling like you can't be affectionate with, like someone you're with in public, because you still get the staring and the stuff. And I had quite a bad incident a few weeks ago in Temba in the Octagon, where I started kissing someone while I was the girl I was with, and we just got like the worst reaction from everyone around us. It was awful. And a guy came up to us, said some really inappropriate things and stuff, and I told him to go away, and people started taking photos and video. Wow. which was really, really awful, and we had to leave. And it was just so incredibly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That's probably the worst thing that's happened, because usually I go to a queer event and that would be where I was with someone, and it's such a safe space. The only people who are going to interrupt you are going to be gay guys telling you you look adorable, which is hilarious, rather than awful. So, yeah.
Have you noticed a change, like, moving from Wellington to Dunedin? Do you think it's, like, harder in the South Island for people to be kind of out as queer, or...?
I think it is. I think it is overall. Not so bad in Dunedin. I don't think it's terrible. I mean, it's such a huge student population. Younger people generally are a lot better. Like, they don't really... Most younger people don't really have a big problem with it. Or if they do, they know it's not appropriate for them to say. It's just when people get drunk, like, guys get drunk, then they don't think about what they're doing, I don't think. But there's definitely people who come from sort of more the deep south or, more rural areas find it a lot harder, I think. It's definitely more isolating being there, and... there's a lot more of the whole stereotypes and all that sort of stuff, and just a lot more homophobia around, like, and it can be quite dangerous. I think in some places it'd be quite dangerous. I've heard quite bad things about Invercargill and how unsafe people feel there, which is really sad. So it's definitely better here, like in Dunedin, than it is there. Mm-hmm. And it's in Wellington, it's pretty good too. Good. So I don't know, you have a there's less places to go in Dunedin. I think there's less spaces that just exist all the time, whereas in Wellington, because there's more people, they have like gay bars, gay bar that's open every night and stuff, so you can always have somewhere to go. They had one really briefly in Dunedin, but it didn't last long.
What do you think about the way queer and trans people are represented in the media? In media meaning like news, books, movies, television shows, all sorts.
I think it's got a lot better, but there's a long way to go. I think queer and trans people are seriously underrepresented for the amount of people that are queer and trans. there's a serious difference in the number of people that you actually see in the media. So, I watch a lot of queer media, and I hunt it out, because it's really important to me to see that and stuff, and I really enjoy seeing shows that, especially ones that do it really well. But you have to find it. You have to go and find it, and it should just be there a lot of the time. And people always make arguments about there, you know, you can't have this many gay people on a TV show, and you're like, well, there are this many gay people around us. Like, you know, who's to say what's right and wrong? And yeah, so I think there's that underrepresentation. There's also some of that stereotyping that needs to be broken down more and more. Like TV shows like The Fosters, which have the two lesbian mothers and stuff, but it's not a show about them being two lesbian mothers. That's not the show, and they're both fantastic characters in themselves, and it's about their family. It's not about, they're not stereotyped people at all. No one in that show is stereotyped, so it's quite refreshing to watch something and it's just part of living, rather than being like this focus about, or the like defining feature of someone's character.
Yeah.
Like that's where it gets really like, you get really over it, so that like the one thing that's about them, they're like that lesbian character or that gay guy. Like, and that's, you know, that's not how people feel. They don't feel like that's the defining aspect. I mean, it is partially, it can be partially what defines people, and it can be an important part of their identity, but it's not the one thing. And so media's terrible at doing that at the moment. It's very little media that does a really good job of it. So I think, yeah. And also, and trans people are just terribly, like, uselessly represented in the media and some really, really negative stereotypes and stuff. So they're doing even worse than everyone else, which is such a shame, because there's so many misunderstandings about trans people and stuff. And, like, I make an effort. I'm a medical student, so I make an effort to educate myself on sort of health issues as well as just LGBT community as a whole interests me a lot. And so I've spent time educating myself on trans issues, but people just, like, but I don't know everything there is to know. I only know what I've taught myself and stuff, and I don't have that experience as well. So, it's really hard, and it's also really hard when you don't get to see yourself in the media because, again, the isolation thing.
Have there been any characters or storylines that you have reflected your identity or that could relate to?
I really like, on Grey's Anatomy, I really like, because it sort of does the medical side of things, and it is, so Kelly in Arizona on that show have been really good because it's such a consistent relationship and it is a proper thing, and their storylines are advanced beyond the fact that they're two women. And they, you know, they have the ups and downs, and they have their own storylines and their own lives, and they're different, very different characters. But I really like seeing that in the context of the fact that I'm going to be a doctor, and that's like probably the most identify with them. Yeah.
Cool. What do you think about the marriage equality bill that passed last year?
I think it was cool. I went to the march in Wellington, which was really fun, with a couple of friends. And I listened to everyone speak and stuff, and it was really cool. And it was quite nice with, like, the people signing the petition, and I helped it out in the square, which is the event in Civic Square in Wellington, like a fair. They had the petition there and stuff, so that was just before it started going through and getting signed and that sort of stuff. So that was really... that was really cool to be, like, yeah, quite active and sort of being part of stuff then. And the people who did the work to get the petition going, all that sort of stuff, were amazing. And it was quite cool because my parents brought my brother and came to see me at the fair and stuff, and it's really important to me that my parents sort of understand who I am and that's not going away and that sort of stuff, because I think that was one of the things they might have thought when I first came out to them. Because it wasn't comfortable, and it was also totally unexpected, which I recognise, that they weren't going to be like, okay, all of a sudden. But they came and they both signed their petition and stuff, and that made me feel really happy, because you see, they were really supporting me, and they were, yeah. So it was really cool. I think it was amazing, and all the speeches and stuff were great. And it was really cool to see, to have conversations with people, being like, why is this only happening now? What's wrong? It's, you know, this should have happened ages ago. I don't see why people are arguing against this. It's so stupid. Mm-hmm. So all the support was quite cool, just especially among, like, my friends and sort of people our age. It was really good, yeah.
Did you celebrate when it passed?
I kind of did. I was at an audition for a, like, for something. So I didn't really get to do it properly, but I did jump up and down a few times. So that was good. That was good. My mum texted me when it passed because she was watching. Yeah.
Is it something that you like? Think you might want to do one day? Get married?
Yeah. It was always something I think I wanted to do. It's just cool that it. Yeah, it always made me a bit sad. It wasn't actually legal. It's just a bit depressing, but it's nice. As I said, I think it is really important for whether people think marriage is something that they want to do or not, is to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to make the decision for themselves rather than have it made for them just because some people decided it wasn't okay.
So it's awesome that we've got marriage equality, but what do you think are some of the come up with the issues that are facing queer and trans people in New Zealand at the moment?
Well, I, as someone who's working in the health profession, I just started an initiative to try and get some proper LGBT-specific education into medical school, because during the summer I was kind of wondering what we get taught, because I'm only in third year this year, and so I emailed and found out that we only get like an hour-long thing, which is kind of like an interviewee panel. I don't know. It's not a very comprehensive hour. I think it's introducing people to the idea of coming out. I think that's all. But I think that's all we get. And as health professionals, I mean, we interact with the LGBT community all the time through all the different disciplines. And there's at least some etiquette things that if health professionals learn, then they can build better doctor-patient relationships with queer and trans people. When they're incredibly vulnerable health-wise. The health problems in the community are pretty shocking, like smoking rates and all this. There's a lot of really specific things, and we just don't get taught it. And so just last night I put up a Facebook page, so I've already got more than 70 members. So there's a lot of support in among the medical students and stuff, so people have been sort of talking to me about it. I think it's going to be that's my project for the next couple of years. Is changing that. That's one of the most important things for me, I think, is if people are treated well in the health system and supported, and especially with a lot of like mental health issues and that sort of stuff, they're supported well with that, then they do better overall. Because, doctors are often people who end up having that interaction with. Yeah.
Cool. That's such an awesome project.
It's exciting.
Where do you think we'll be in, like, say, 10 years' time in terms of that and other issues?
I hope things just kind of keep going the way they are now in terms of it becoming more normalised such. I don't know. Where people just understand it as another sort of a kind of identity here. So, and that people are the way that they are, and sort of in learning to accept people for how they are, and hopefully that change that's happened sort of in the more sort of central and well populated areas can move out to the more rural areas, and I think it will as the younger people start growing up, but it's going to be a time thing. So 10 years I'm hoping people will be even more accepting than they are now, and that there will be more continue to be more resources and more support and stuff for people who are going through all the different aspects of that people can struggle with about being queer or trans. I hope the health system for especially that trans people have to go through will get a lot better, and I'm hoping that part of what I'm doing is hopefully can help start to set some of that off, is getting a general understanding, because the cool thing about doing it in medical school is means that every doctor who comes through we'll get that education, and then if everyone gets this sort of standard of education, then the overall standard in the medical community will go up.
That's so important.
And there's a similar group at Auckland who just had the same idea pretty much at the same time as me, who are doing that as well, and which is really exciting because it's the two medical schools. So that's all
great.
That's all the New Zealand doctors.
Cool.
So that's really exciting. Yeah.
If you could give a message to a young person struggling with their identity at the moment and like coming out, or maybe even like someone like a young trans person trying to get the healthcare they need but not getting much help, what would you say?
In terms of people just trying to figure themselves out, is it that time's okay, and it's totally cool to feel out of place and to feel weird. Like that's fine. It's totally normal, and that there's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with not knowing exactly where you fit as well, because figuring out where you fit takes time, and there's no need to put a label on anything or do anything before you're ready, and you know, just slowly find out those people who can support you, whether it is online or it's a friend or a family member, but just wait, you know, don't need to rush anything. There's no rush on figuring yourself out, because a lot of people don't figure themselves out for a very long time, and you're allowed to change your mind on how you feel and everything, because there's nothing wrong with that either. And people who are looking for good healthcare is that you get to pick your doctor, and if doctors are not treating you well, or you don't feel like they're listening to you, find another one, because there are more doctors, and that, you know, that is totally your right to be treated with respect, and to feel comfortable with your doctor, you know. And I know that's a lot harder for people in more rural areas. We are looking for, so that might be quite good to look for support from some of the groups like Rainbow Youth and all that sort of stuff, and talk to them about how you could find some better support. But yeah, that especially if you live in somewhere like Dunedin, there are a lot of doctors in Dunedin, and if one makes you feel uncomfortable or one's not doing what you need, is that there are more doctors out there, and there are great doctors out there, and that you have the right to go and find them, and to not go back to the doctor that you feel is making you uncomfortable.
And to finish up, what's your favourite thing about being a young queer person in South Island or New Zealand?
I really like the community and stuff. I think it's a really fun, diverse, vibrant community, and it's also made me a better person being part of it. It's opened my eyes to how different people can be, and accepting other people. It's made me a more accepting person, and I think that's really cool. It's made me a better person, being part of the community, which is great, I think.